Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 215.
And gangsters!
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
You have gangsters.
You got a grandson of Al Capone.
Yeah, that's right.
Got some gang stuff in here.
Yeah,
and we ain't
right.
Talking about no third ward gangster either.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is G-Dog. No, this is Ray, y'all.
What's up? Ray. It is awesome. We just finished talking to our guest, and we'll hear him later. And his name is Chris Knight, so... Well, before we get to the interview, we're going to do some updates. And it's Pride Weekend. Yes, it's Pride.
It was Pride Weekend.
Well, it was Pride Weekend. Happy
it's
Pride,
over with.
Everyone. Yeah.
Happy
it's
Pride.
It's a very tiring Pride Weekend, too.
Yes, it's very tiring. My booty is wore off.
Yeah, I saw you guys. You guys were really working it. There's only four of you guys.
So I work it all the time. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell us about what you guys did what did the Houston Area Bears do for the float?
Well, we went in with Tony's Corner Pocket, since it's our home bar, and we worked with Tony and we designed a float and did a lot of work on it. Took a lot of time to get together Saturday, I think. It's like we thought we'd never get done sticking the paper mache stuff on it. But we got it all done, got it down to the parade route, did some touch up, finished up, cleaned it up, got everything ready to go. So we had a good time. We just needed a few more hands. We got to get some bears out there that can stand the heat a little bit better.
Yeah.
So that's the only problem. We had a couple comments about, well, where are the bears at? And we had Phil on there. Of course, he was in drag because he had to work that night at Tony's. He's a member of HAB. And Tony... was on there, who's one of the triad members along with me, and mm-hmm. I was walking alongside being a wheel guard, and then we had Lloyd being a wheel guard, and Carlos was running back and forth twirling a flag like he was a sugar baker or something. And so it was pretty interesting. And then it seemed like the damn twinks started multiplying on the float.
I know.
They were pretty. But it's like every time you turn, I was like, y'all need to get y'all's ass down here and walk. Y'all skinny little muscle boys, y'all can handle it. Y'all can get down here and walk and speak and get all beat up by these crazy fools along the parade route. So.
They were dancing.
Well, they're supposed to be two on the float dancing, and then the rest were supposed to be walking along, but
they all wanted to dance.
They all wanted to be the center of attention. So
Tony was dancing.
Tony was having a great time. Tony was running the hosting the VIP tent mm-hmm. Down at Pride Central on Westheimer, right there across from Mary's, and
having good times. Yeah, Tony, the owner. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the owner of Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yeah, but our other Tony, HAB Tony, he's...
HAB Tony was on the float, too. But everybody's having a good time. Actually, once we got going, I had a good time. I just, you know, it was one of those things that's like, God, I wish I had like two or three cocktails before this parade started so I could just relax and... try to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. So, but I will say that DJ Ross did a great job on our music. He had some incredible mixes. Mm-hmm. And let's see, the float turned out great. The only problem is, and this always happens every time you do something with Pride, you get right up almost to the judges' stand. The generator dies.
I told you.
We had two generators. We had a little Honda one that we were running the sound system off of because it was just better with power distributing it out. And it ran out of gas as soon as we got right before we get to the judge.
I told Clay about it. Yeah. Conserve your gas. This happened to us many times before.
Tony showed up with these two little piddly podunk generators, which were nice, mm-hmm. but... I don't think they'd get a lesbian's vibrator going that hard because they were under some power. So we went, and luckily, we got in touch with one of the rental places here, and they were open till 1 o'clock. I mean, 12 o'clock. No, it was 1 o'clock. It was 12:30. So we said, we'll be there in 15 minutes. So we flew over to the rental place, got
at noon.
At noon, okay. And got a 9,000-watt generator to put on there, which is not on the floats we've used. I built when I was doing with the church, MCC, Resurrection. That's what we used, those big generators. And we hooked that up, and we were still having some problem with it blowing breakers at first until we got the load balanced out. So we had a lot, but we plugged the sound system in. That blew everything else out again, so we had to generate some stuff there. So,
The float was describe the float. You have a tree. You have a tree because the theme of Pride this year is we are family. So we have a big tree.
And we had talked to people, and then you know all the groups that are involved at Tony's Corner Pocket that do stuff there or meet there, like the Wave, the softball team, and
my team.
The pool league and you know a bunch of the other groups that are there. We had a tree with all their names stuck on it that represent you know that it was a family tree. And then we had a big rainbow that said we're a family that went up the float because the float as it went to the back of the trailer was tiered. And then we had Mr. and Mrs. Tony's Corner Pocket on there. We had Lillian Devereaux. Who is an HAB member, Phil, who hosts all the shows, who's the hostess with the mostest at Tony's Corner Pocket.
It's so nice.
And then, of course, we had Tony and Tony. We had Tony S., the Triad member, and then Tony Vaccaro, the owner of Tony's Corner Pocket. And then we just had a gaggle of little Twinkie Muscle Boys back there dancing. So.
And some of you guys are really just drooling.
I was enjoying the view. I mean, I'd like to be out there dancing with them, but
we had our own twinks and bears in our float.
Well, see, that's the deal. All the bears were in the freaking Asian and Friends.
That's right. Yeah. What do you think of our dragon?
I didn't get to see it. I briefly saw it when y'all walked by. Y'all went by so quick. I was like,
We did a dragon this time. This one is a gayer dragon, I should say, because 2 years ago we did a dragon.
Is it hot, fierce, tranny dragon?
It was an angry dragon. It was hard. Actually, 2 years ago we had not the same dragon, but we had a 50-year-old dragon that came straight from China, and it was revived. It was
fresh off the boat.
Used against it was fresh off the boat, and we got to use it, and it went alive, and we won that year. And then we won that year for best walking entry. And then last year we won again best walking entry also again. We did the Chinese takeout boxes. We were all in Chinese takeout boxes and it were pretty big. It was funny. Then this year I hope we win. I sure hope we win. We have another dragon, but this one's a gayer dragon, so that's how we call it. It's a gay dragon.
Well, usually they announce the winners the next day, but for some reason they're doing it much in a couple weeks or something. I don't know.
Probably a week. We'll see a week.
What all the deal was. So we'll see who won what and everything. So
But anyway, okay. I guess we're going to move on. We're going to go to our interview. And he's, the grandson of Al Capone, Chris Knight. So, let's do the interview.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice butt. Yeah, sure. So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
Joining us tonight is Chris Knight. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Joining us here is Ray. Ray's with us, and we want to chat with you. We're going to talk about your book and what's going on with you over there. But So first of all, a little bit of history. Where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in New Jersey, but now I live in Boston. Which accent?
Which accent?
Everybody asked me that.
I know.
Accent 14, just so you know. Now I live in Boston, and I love New England. It's an amazing place.
I've been there once. I love Boston. Boston is great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a city that's grown on me, and the people here are pretty nice, and there's so many beautiful parks in Boston. And unlike you guys in Texas, you you have President Bush down there, and I have Bush Senior up here. So.
Oh,
is he at Kitty Bunkport this weekend?
Excuse me.
Is it Kitty Bungport this weekend?
I'm right near there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kennebunkport. It's Maine is, I have a place in Maine too. It's really really nice here. Yeah. And I've never been to Texas, so I want to come there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Come to Houston.
Wait till the fall.
Wait till the fall for the fall, yeah.
Wait till the fall.
Definitely.
Oh, they have fall there?
Yeah,
well,
we
we have short weather and then we have long short weather. So,
oh, cool.
So you can wear your short. We pretty much can wear shorts here year round. But as soon as the temperature drops below 65, though, all the rich ladies with the minks come out and start running around the Galleria. So it's kind of funny.
Oh, cool. Do they have oil slicks behind them? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some do.
You guys obviously invited me today to be on your to talk about my book, my new book that just came out.
Yes, that's true. So, yeah, about your book, my gosh, it's been around for a long time. How long did you write this book? How long did it take you to finish it? The Son of Scarface. Yeah, that's the name of the book.
Son of Scarface, a memoir by the grandson of Al Capone. And that's me.
That's you. Okay.
And wow, it really is a fascinating story. And it's been a process. I started writing the book in 2006, and I finished in 2007. It was something that I needed to do, a cathartic step in my life that I needed to take, just to let all the demons out. There were too many demons in my life, and
demons
I meet.
Okay.
Demons, the little things with little horns on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
I think everybody has them, right?
Right.
Yeah, most of the time, especially me.
But yeah, the premise of my my story is that when I was just about to turn 13 years old, my dad passed away in my arms, and first day of vacation, and I started the search to find out his true identity. Before he died, he told me a few things about his life and his identity, how it was changed when he was a young boy. And he described the family to me, his family. And I always wanted to know who they were and what he was talking about. So after he passed away, the funeral, I described what the funeral was like, and I just wanted to know more about my father, so I started calling up his friends, and one of them I came right out and asked him, I said, who was my father? And he said, your father was the son of Al Capone. And I just said, well, who's Al Capone?
I never knew back then. You were 13 years old back then, you said, right?
I was just about to turn 13, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So he's like, you don't know who Al Capone is? And I'm like, no. He's like, well, go to an encyclopedia and look him up.
Go Google it. Go to Google.
Well, we didn't have internet back then.
Okay.
The only thing we had was, encyclopedias and books. And so I went to the local library and pulled out some books on Al Capone. And I was like, wow.
Were you shocked? I mean, you were wowed, but were you shocked and
I was
afraid?
I was confused as a child. My dad dying on me when I was, beginning my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, she was a very, she had a lot on her plate, losing a husband, raising two kids, personal issues and everything. So I was very confused as a child, and I didn't really have time to focus on the meaning of being Al Capone's grandson. And as I grew older, I wanted to know more about my dad. And because of who my grandfather was, I wasn't able really to talk to people about who he was because no one wanted to talk to me about me being the grandson of Al Capone.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Is that why you use Chris Knight only? You're supposed to be Chris Knight Capone. According to your website, that's how you go by. But you just go out and
Well, Chris Knight, my father lived with an assumed identity. His name was William Knight. And, of course, when I was born, I took on that surname. But I recently changed my name to Capone, so I could be Christopher Knight Capone. It was more of a way it was more symbolic for me, to take back the name that my father was not able to use because of who his father was. So that's why now my name is Christopher Knight Capone.
I bet you get a lot of questions when people know that you are, when they find out your name and, you must be related to Al Capone. Aha, they would laugh. Oh, actually, yes. Yeah, so.
No, I haven't had anyone ask me, but
I would imagine.
When they see it, they look at me and I just smile.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, only if you knew.
Yeah.
Only if you knew the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So, writing the book, I wanted to let all my demons out, but I also wanted to share with the American people a fascinating story about, Al Capone's son, one of Al Capone's sons. He really had two sons, and one of the sons was illegitimate, and the other son was a son between his wife and Al. I don't really know everything behind the whole, what happened, but I know enough to tell the world my story. I mean, I lived through it, and, I knew my father, and I know, he told me things, and family, friends, and everything. I mean, I try to lay out as much as possible in my book, but, there are definitely a few more things that I've learned since I've written my book about my dad and the Al Capone son and the known Al Capone son and my father. So it'll be interesting to see how it continues to play out in the media and if there is any media at this point. I'm just happy to have my book out there and to really share an amazing story of my life, that I really needed to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has a story that they can tell people. Everyone has their own story, and it's just a matter of trying to package it in a way to get it out there and for people to read and to think about and, to learn a lesson from. So in a nutshell, my story is about courage and being persistent and, believing in what, yourself and, imagine, boy being told who, his grandfather was the godfather.
Yeah.
And then, growing up trying to tell people and people just look at you like you're, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But then, you push and you push and you try to find out more and, you use courage and you're persistent and you, it's like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what was some of the most interesting things you found out about your family?
About my family?
Yeah.
When you started digging
and finding out who your father was and who your grandfather was there anything that, you found that was just like, I never knew that or would never believe that? I mean, because
anything interesting? The most interesting part was, Al, my grandfather, he really caused a lot of pain and suffering for the Capone lineage.
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of the Capones changed their names, or they committed suicide, or their whole lives were ruined because of their relationship to Al Capone. So there was this fear instilled not only in people that dealt with my grandfather, but also the family. And my dad really had to live a secret life. And only his close friends knew, and, my mom. And it was really a secretive, kind of shameful life that someone had to live, and I really didn't understand like how shameful it was until I wrote my book, because I was able to like become a part by reading, you know, the history books. I was able to understand, you know, what people were thinking, or their point of view, or their opinion of my grandfather. So it was very difficult for me to, you know, to even to write the book, but also to publish it and to share my story with people, because, you know, it's, you know, a very bold and courageous thing to do.
Let me ask you, ever since you wrote the book, of course, your family knows about it already by now. Yeah, they know about your book already. And what did they have to say about it?
Actually, my mother, she knows about the book. She hasn't read it yet, but she knows what it's about.
Yeah. But how about family? Any negative impact in other relatives or?
No, I mean, you know, my sister, you know, just kind of brought up a lot of bad memories that we had as children. So, memories that she never dealt with. So it's kind of forcing her to, you know, deal with those issues. Capone family members, I've spoken to, about three distant Capone family members. And what's interesting is that, the Capone family is very, broken up, and, you know, their names have been changed, and they want to live in seclusion, and they don't want to be a part of the family.
Really?
So, you know, they don't know my father. You know, I talked to a great-grandson or a grandniece. You know, they don't know my father. Excuse me?
Chris, your father was still a young child when your grandfather was killed, wasn't he?
My grandfather wasn't killed. He died in 1948, January of 48, I believe. Yeah. My father was a very young boy when his identity was changed. It was changed in the 1930s. So, you know, he was a very young, like, you know, he would have been maybe, well, he wasn't a young boy. He was I guess in his late teens.
Late teens, yeah.
He might have been almost approaching 18, 19, 20, I don't know. But I know that was in his late teens.
Okay.
My dad began with... Excuse me?
I said, so he was older. Okay.
He was older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I recently actually spoke to the place where my grandmother dropped off my father, where he began to live with his new assumed identity. I talked to a granddaughter. She's in her 80s now, and she remembered meeting my grandmother when she was a little girl. And she was telling me that my grandmother was very beautiful, and that that my grandmother was married to a gangster in Chicago.
Wow.
And I just said,
Wow. What an icebreaker, if ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't tell her that, you know, my book was out. I didn't think she knew about it because I didn't tell her about it. I just, I was able to find her, you know, it's funny, I was going through my dad's phone book recently, and I came across a name that my genealogist was researching previously. So I was like, oh, that name sounds familiar. So I went back in my files, and then I started looking online for the phone number, and wham, you know, I found a family member, and they're like, oh, that person lives in California. So I called, and I was like, wow, you know, like, it's like the luck of a draw, you know, when you're trying to find something and you find...
Well, that's what the internet is for. Yeah, it helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. The internet is an amazing tool.
One of the characters in your book is Thor. It's kind of interesting having a name. Can you describe him?
He was a Swedish. He came over in the early 1900s. He had tuberculosis at one point, and he was at a sanitarium in upstate New York. And I think he was released in like 1930. And then he was a photographer for a short time after that. And then he got into the rooming business in the late 30s and 40s throughout up until his death in the late 90s. He owned several apartment buildings in New York City. And he's the one that actually I asked straight out who my dad was when I was, you know, just about to turn 13. And he said, you know, your father was the son of Al Capone. He actually was friends with my grandfather. And I don't know how they became friends, but Al Capone knew Thor, and he would go visit Thor. And
he goes by Thor, okay. He's like Norse
Thor
god.
Thor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thor was his name. Mm-hmm. And Thor's daughter is actually alive now. She lives in Bayou in Florida. But, you know, she vividly remembers my dad. And it's fascinating to hear the stories about her dad. You know, he owned rooming houses back then, and there would be all these types of people renting rooms from him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they would rent by the hour, or the week, or the month, or...
Well, sometimes you just need a nap, you know?
Yeah. Or you need somewhere to go with somebody to do something.
Yeah, that's right.
But
so what are you planning now? I mean, you have Son of Scarface out. And,
yeah.
And are you planning to write a part two, maybe? A sequel, or maybe another kind of book? Or what are you planning now?
You know, I'm thinking about that. It took a lot of energy to write the first book.
The grandson of Scarface.
The grandson of Scarface. Yeah. Son of Scarface, actually, is... I'm talking about my dad. He was,
yes,
you know,
that's true.
Son of Scarface.
So the sequel would be, I don't know. I'm just
The grandson of Scarface. that could work. But I'm waiting. You know, I want to find out more. I really would like to know more about my dad, like talk to more people that knew my dad, because he was such an amazing person. You know, he had so many friends, and he was well-traveled, and he commanded a lot of respect from people. He didn't have an enemy. You know, a lot of people still think about him to this day. My dad died 25 years ago, and I just love talking to people who knew my dad, because mm-hmm. he was my rock as a young boy. So my next book, I'm trying to think, brainstorm, and see what clicks. But I'm taking a lot of notes. And I just finished filming a short documentary on my dad. We went around the country and interviewed people. And
that's you're going to film now after writing a book.
Yeah. Well, we just...
So there you go.
Just filmed a short documentary. I mean, just to help vet my story and really to, you know, meet people that knew my dad and get, you know, interview them for camera. And that's in, you know, being edited right now. And I think I'm trying to pitch a reality show in New York, but it might, you know, it's not going to be like just on the Capone piece. It's going to be mm-hmm. more about me. I, as a result of writing the book and, you know, doing the documentary and meeting all these people, I've been able to find a side of myself that I really like. You know, I have a very improv side. Mm-hmm. And I've taken a lot of the pain that I've had throughout my life and have used humor to deal with the pain. So the humor has actually turned into this kind of stand-up comedy.
Oh, you do stand-up? There in Boston or in Maine?
I mean, right now, you know, there's a little club here in Maine that I do it at, or, you know, I do it here wherever I go with my friends. I have a following, so I want to do that on TV. So,
groupies.
You have groupies.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to have Chris Capone fans, hopefully. Yeah. Oh my god!
That must be fun.
I think my grandmother would. I mean, my grandfather would kill me for telling the world, you know, all these secrets.
So what you're gonna do? Is this gonna be part of your act then? You know, some.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Al Capone, George. Yeah,
I guess I could, right?
Oh my gosh, that'd be interesting.
I mean, it's gonna be fascinating, and you know, it's so funny. You know, I just wrote my book really just to get all, like I told you, everything out,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I don't want to really bother anyone anymore about.
About it.
You know, cause
you're pretty much moving on. You're moving on.
Yeah, like I'm done. I did my deed, and you know, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
So it's time for me to focus on myself and my career, and you know, on me.
That's true.
I know what your next project can be, Chris.
What's that?
You can write about the elusive gay agenda that everybody talks about, but nobody seems to know what it is. That would be a great fire.
Right.
A great expose, excuse me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I guess I could.
Yeah, the gay agenda.
Because me and Maynard have talked about the gay agenda, and we can't figure out what in the hell it is.
Yeah.
I don't
have it in my Outlook. No, I don't have it. So.
The gay agenda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. We definitely need someone who's going to be outspoken about our agenda and who's going to really forge ahead and, you know, try to be the next Martin Luther King of you know, the gay people.
Yeah.
Margaret Cho's trying, so.
Oh, yeah, she
is. Yeah, Margaret Cho's not gay, though.
She's bi, isn't she? I thought she's bi.
She's so cool. I love her.
But she's great. Yeah.
Oh my
God. I love watching her.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Did you ever see her?
I've seen her twice.
Oh yes, she was here. What end of last year?
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's made a small club here in Houston. It was great.
Yeah, she loves cracking on her mom.
Yeah.
On her family.
Yeah,
she's
she makes
so
that
beautiful
face
too.
All the time. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get into Kathy Griffin. I don't know.
Oh,
I
she'll like be here Griffin. In Houston this coming November, right, Ray? You guys gonna watch?
I'm not going. I went last year.
Oh, okay. I wanted to see her.
Have you been watching her new show on Bravo?
Once in a while, when it passed by Ray's. But you've been following it a lot, have you, Chris?
Yeah, I've been trying to watch it. I mean, definitely. Cool. I wish Margaret Cho had a show.
Well, she did. ABC canceled it like that.
Oh. Too short-lived, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was on for like maybe 6 or 7 episodes, and then they canceled it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
That was a long time ago, though. I mean, it was when she was first getting popular.
Yeah.
And she said, I think some of her earlier stuff when she used to go on tour talked about her. They didn't want a fat Asian chick on TV making people laugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
And that's why the executives cut it. So
she was chubby back then.
They better not say that about me. Fat gay grandson of Al Capone on TV.
That's right.
Oh no! Yeah, you.
Oh, there you go. Your next one can be on the Pink Mafia.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh no, that's taken already. Sorry, I think somebody's using
that
already.
Pink Mafia. That sounds cool.
Pink Mafia. I think that's used already though. But
you guys follow Perez Hilton?
Yes. The girls in my office are like on his website every day, so I don't have to go check it out because they keep me informed of everything.
Really?
They are Perez Hilton whores.
Do you consider yourself a bear, Chris?
Yeah,
I'm definitely a bear. You're definitely a bear? Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm hairy and I'm big and...
Yeah, it runs in the Capone family, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I was looking at your family pics and I had one of your grandfather and I was trying to put it next to your photo on your website and I was like, yeah, there's actually a resemblance
there.
Yes,
there is a big resemblance.
And I was like...
Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm. There definitely is a resemblance.
Definitely.
But I've been told that if I wear a fedora and, clothes like my grandfather, or if King Kong wore a hat, a fedora, or a suit, you know, he would look like my grandfather.
It's storming here pretty bad on my side of town. Maynard's on like the north side of town, and I'm on like the toward closer to center part of Houston, and it's like a bad storm between the two of us. So I'm sure it's knocking power lines and telephone lines out. Yeah, so.
Oh wow! Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
well, we're actually wrapping this up, and really appreciate you being in the show, Chris. Yeah. It's awesome hearing from you.
Well,
from
thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you got a book tour or anything coming up, Chris?
Actually, you know, I put off my book tour for now. I wanted to spend some time with my family. You know, my sister has been ill, so I've been trying to focus on helping her and her children. But I'm going to be starting up again in September, and I plan on visiting every major city in the United States.
Awesome.
And, okay. You know, I also wanted to mention that a huge percentage of the proceeds of the book sales are going to charity. Mm-hmm. So I'm not profiting at all from this book. It's not my intention to make money off my father's life story.
Do you have a designated charity yet, or are you just going to buy
I haven't. You know, the book hasn't made any money yet.
Oh, okay.
But Boys and Girls Club of America, I've been sending money to. They are an awesome organization, Boys and Girls Club of America. They really help children who come from broken homes, who don't have a mother or father, or either or, who, you know, are on their own. And, you know, it's really tough out there, and I wish I had knowing about the Boys and Girls Club of America when I was a young kid, because I definitely would have went to one of their clubs and, asked for guidance or take some classes on building my self-esteem or just working with the folks there. You know, it's an awesome organization, and they really do a lot of good things for children.
Awesome.
So.
Well, yeah, let's probably direct our listeners to your website. Everybody out there listening, go to sonofscarface.com check out Chris.
So look out for my other new website that's coming out soon, chriscapone.com.
Chriscapone.com. I'll put the links on the website. So, yeah, check out his book, and it's available in the leading bookstores.
Yep. Available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Borders.
Awesome.
And, you know, you can send me an email, and if you would like to sell my book, you could send me an email, and I could forward it to the company that's distributing my book.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was really nice talking to both of you.
Thank you very much.
And keep us informed on the book tour. Maybe we can see you when you come to Houston.
Yeah.
I definitely would love to meet you, and thank you. Send me an email with your contact information.
All right. So
we will do that.
Yeah. So thank you, Chris. All right.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Have fun camping.
Bye-bye. Have fun.
Good. Thanks. I'm going to go back to my campfire now. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
All right. We're back. Okay.
We're back.
We're back. All right.
Back from the campsite.
Back from the campsite. Yeah. Chris was camping that day. Today. Yeah, tonight. In the middle of the week? Well, I guess it's cooler there in Maine. Anyway, okay, so
it's a lot cooler up there right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's in Maine. Maine is great. I've been to Maine about 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike used to live there. Yeah, he grew up there, so it's nice.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's go to listener comments. How about comments?
You mean listeners? Somebody actually left us a comment?
Yes. What? Actually, somebody left comments this time. Nobody's been commenting. Guys, everybody out listening there, what do you guys think of this episode? What do you think of the past episodes? What do you think of the video? Oh, by the way, you have to see the video. The Pride video, Ray.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet. I just posted it yesterday. Okay, so go ahead, Ray. Go with our friend.
Our first comment is Jeff from Vermont, who is commenting about a great interview with Mike Ator. He's a very cute bear, and yes, I must agree. Meeting him at Bear Watch, he's a very cute bear. Mm-hmm. And do you want to do the one about Father's Day?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Jeff also, Jeff from Vermont, he's a very good friend of ours. And he's commenting about the Father's Day special that, okay, he says, this is what he said. I definitely want to have kids myself one day, but I would like to do it through this method so both my partner and I would be true parents. Since it'll be a while before this happens, it'll give me time to save money. Okay, yeah, so start saving now, Jeff. Yeah,
right.
So I guess they want to do, okay, what is it again? GayFamilyOptions.org. That's where Gary and Andrew had the relationship, well, not that kind of relationship, but had hooked up with a lesbian couple, and they had a co-parenting situation with baby Adrian right now. She's very cute. Yeah, actually, Mike and I went there last Saturday, and we got to see baby Adrian. It's really, really cute. It's really nice to see Mike carrying a baby. He's really cute. Okay, I guess that's it. Do we do any shout-outs? Anybody you want to...
I want to give a shout-out to everybody that helped come out and volunteer and work on the HAB float. I appreciate you guys coming and helping out. I know with this weekend being as busy as it was, it's kind of hard to be able to do stuff with everything going on. But I appreciate the folks that come out and helped. Next year, come out and help us march. And... ride along with the float and meet all the nutcases along Westheimer as you go down the road, down the parade route. I also need to give a special shout out to John, my partner. We just celebrated 7 years together.
Aww.
As of Thursday.
Wow.
So, yep, seven
last
years.
Last Thursday right only? Wow. Okay.
Thursday before Pride. So.
Awesome. Congratulations. 7 years.
Well, thanks. 7 years.
Well, we're going to be, I'll have to shout out to Mike because next month will be our 6th anniversary. So,
and next week, either this week, I can't remember if I got it right. It's either this week or next week. Casey and Giles celebrate their 7th anniversary. So, they are supposedly going to get married. I guess I should ask them if I could say this. But anyway, Casey likes to tell
really?
Advice business. They're going to California to get married.
Oh my God!
So I told him. I said, "Are you crazy? They don't have divorce laws yet."
They don't want a backup plan. Okay, yeah, congratulations. Wow, Casey and Giles, amazing. What else? Shout out to the Asians and Friends people. I hope we all win. I was there drumming. I was with my drums and I was drumming away. And Mike and the others, and they were the ones carrying the dragon. And it was fun. It was very tiring. I didn't know playing drums there in the streets for 2 hours is really, really tiring. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Asians and Friends. I hope we win this year again for the third time, for 3 straight years. So, I hope so.
I hope we get something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're well-themed. I think the Bears had the well-themed float. So, I think so. I think.
The Asian and Friends link for the pictures just came across the deal. There's Wayne.
I see Wayne.
There's Richie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to see
John.
The video. You got to play the video later. Mm-hmm. Okay, just a reminder, this coming weekend, 4th of July, and Mike and I, we're going to be in Dallas. We're going to play softball with the Heat tournament there. So I think I'm going to see the Bears, the Dallas Roundup Diesel Bears. Oh, Diesel softball team. They're the bear team. I think we're going to play against them. Woo-hoo. So, I'm excited about that this coming weekend.
Well, there was...
what are you guys doing this weekend?
As little as possible. Well, we bought a camper this week, so I guess I'll be working on it to go camping.
You guys going to go camping this... Where at?
Not this weekend. Not this weekend, but in a couple weeks. We just got a little pop-up tent camper.
Oh.
That we can put in a window AC unit in, so we're going to do that, and then it needs a little work on it, so I got to get it cleaned up and get it ready to go. So, and then we will be all lesbian about it and go camping.
Ah, okay.
So,
when are you guys camping? In the fall, I guess.
No, probably in a couple weeks.
But in a couple of weeks, you are going to be in San Diego.
Well, that's in like 4 weeks.
Oh, okay, that's right. I'm excited for you. We'll take pictures. Hope you get to see lots of. Lots of artists, bear artists, and the gay artists there at Comic-Con. All right, so I guess we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, okay, for listening. Yes. Send your emails to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Or visit the official website at www.bearpodcast.com. And please leave a comment on the website. It would be great to hear from you guys. Or you can call the voicemail line. What is the voicemail line, Ray?
That would be 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yep, that's Bear. Easy to remember. I've been saying that for almost 3 years now. Yeah, okay. So that's it. Go to MySpace. We have a myspace.com/bearpodcast. If you have an iPhone, bearpodcast.com/iPhone, which reminds me, it's going to be iPhone, when is it? Next week? 2 weeks from now? Woohoo! I'm going to get the iPhone, yeah. Ray. I'm planning to get one. Okay, Ray, so thanks everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf What a Bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf What a Bear. Wolf What a Bear.